Welcome to The Chat, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071fm. You have the opportunity to download on a free app called TuneIn and search WWGH on any electronic device. Please call in if you would like to connect with my guest or myself, or if you would like to share any questions you may have or thoughts and ideas. Please call 740-383-9944. And again, thank you for listening. Think about this. I send this out to the victims of Hurricane Harvey and Irma. Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's aching. When there are clouds in the sky, you will get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. God bless you all. I have to share with you today those who faithfully support The Chat, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, location 309 Suite A, North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number 1-800-347-5322. I will now introduce to you and present to others my guest for today, starting with Steve Chaffin. I said it right?
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. That's hard to believe. Okay, he is a lawyer here in Marion, Ohio, also assistant law director and a former candidate in the past. Not intent on running again, you said?
Oh no.
All right. And also Tom Oyster. I do have Republican Party runner, but he says he is now independent.
And
absolutely.
He said he's been 12 years inactive, right, in politics, and yep. He's also a local farmer, right?
Yes.
Well, welcome, gentlemen, to the chat today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice
thank
to be
you.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, we know when we have Steve on, it's about politics, right?
That's kind of my hobby. I remember catching a bug back in 1968. I was watching the Democratic National Convention and also watching the Soviet Union when they invaded Czechoslovakia. I just was fascinated by events going on around me, and they used to teach a class in high school called civics.
Yeah, I remember
years
that.
Ago, and I enrolled in that and just loved the dialogue, the back and forth between the different parties. And of course, we had the presidential campaign that year, which was very exciting.
Wow.
Nixon and Humphrey, and then I just caught the bug, and I actually started working for candidates in 1970. I worked for Howard Metzenbaum.
Wow, that's a name from the past.
And then I worked in 72 for George McGovern, and every year I started working for local candidates. Of course, I ran for office. I don't know, just love it. I don't know why. People get turned off. Why do you care about politics so much? It's essential in a democracy that we care about politics.
True.
And we pay attention to affairs. I mean, I just look at last year's election, so disappointed that so many people didn't dig into the issues and didn't pay attention to what the party stood for, and it just went on the personalities and the media circus. That's what it was. It wasn't a really serious debate about issues last year. So let's hope this year and next year we'll do a better job. So people get out, vote, register, inquire, you know, ask questions, participate, talk with your neighbors about politics. It's not a taboo subject. You can talk to them about something simple. Streets or garbage or police or fire. You know, those are can it be political issues, because you have to vote for taxes and you should get good service. So,
right. I mean, I don't think it matters near as much which political party you align yourself with, but get out, get registered, get yourself involved and do something. Just get involved in your community.
Absolutely.
That's good. to get involved in your community. And I think I got interested when George Bush ran.
Mm-hmm. That was the first campaign I worked with, Bush 2000.
And I was a Democrat, and I crossed party lines because I like George Bush. I don't know why people say, you like George Bush. Yeah, I did. I really did. I thought he had a heart for the people, even though when a president is in office, he usually has to dance with the Congress and the Senate and, you know.
Trump's finding out about that.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes,
I don't think he's
is.
Much of a dancer, though.
No, he's not.
It was pretty interesting what he did last week when he had the Democrats and the Republicans in the room, and he saw the dynamic and realized, look, I'm not going to get anywhere unless I try to find some way to compromise. So
right.
He put it out there, and I was shocked. The Republicans just said, okay. I mean, they didn't even push back and say, oh, we're not going to do this, Mr. President. They could do that. You know, back in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan tried to push through a lot of things, the Democrats were in control, and they'd push back, and they'd say no. Well, then there'd have mm-hmm. to be compromises.
Sure.
Same thing when Clinton was president. The Republicans controlled things. He'd say, let's do this. They'd say no. And actually, it works better when there's a balance.
Yeah,
I wish there was more down in Columbus. We'd get better things done. But
yes,
that's not
yes.
happening. So,
yes.
Anyway.
I agree with that. We do need a balance of powers. No one should
sure.
have just all the power, right. I think. You know, it's like, wow, dictatorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
One party, you know.
Well, you just don't get different points of view. This is why when I come on, I always try to make sure there's a more conservative
dialogue. Right.
Because it's not fair. I mean, really, it isn't. People aren't going to learn anything this way by
true.
Just having
right.
one viewpoint expressed. You need to have both, because there's always two sides, or mm-hmm. many times there is.
That's true.
And you learn from the give and take. There's a really good person on MSNBC. Her name's Joy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading an article about her today, and she was saying she tries to encourage more or less adversarial conversations, because if you get these people that just spew the talking points, you don't learn anything that way.
No, you don't.
Right.
But if you get
right.
a real dialogue where there's an exchange of ideas, then you begin to learn and educate people. And that's essential in our democracy, that we do try to learn about this stuff.
That's true.
I think it may even go deeper than that, because if you start a philosophical discussion with someone, you typically learn that, I don't know, 60, 70, 80% of the time, you're on the same common ground. You just have some fundamental differences that you can get around if you can learn to work together.
That's true, and I know you mentioned the issues. Now, I guess that depends on what perspective you're coming from, because a lot of people feel that Trump is handling their issues, and he has pinpointed certain things. And he's taking care of, like, abortion, gays in the army. You know, just different issues. Now, everybody doesn't have the same perspective,
right.
you know, and they're coming differently.
I don't want to give the president too much credit. He's kind of managing things without making too many bad mistakes, but a lot of people would disagree with his decision. Tom and I got into a discussion last week about DACA.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, to me, he's punted on that. You know, he could have just said, look, I'm going to eliminate DACA, but but he's not. He's saying, I'm going to postpone it.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 months and see if the Congress acts. Well, that's kind of punny, you know. If he really believes what he says, which is, you know, we've got to throw all the illegals out, then do it. But and he's cut back on the deportation. When President Obama was doing stuff, they'd conduct raids. They've ended those raids. Now they're doing selective deportation, which is probably makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you really are saying, let's get the bad guys out, then let's be more selective with our deportation. Let's just not do raids. And that's
right.
what's going on. From what I can see, that's what's going on. That's
raids.
A much more fair way to do it. So, I mean, other than DACA, you can't complain about what Trump. He's not getting his wall.
Not yet, at least.
He didn't get his, you know, travel ban. The courts threw that out. So he's not getting his way, really. And he's punting on DACA. So
I was kind of surprised at his stand on DACA.
You think that was good?
His stand on DACA? Well, I don't know. I think Steve's right that he campaigned on, we're going to do this and yada, yada. And now, given the opportunity to reinstate DACA, you're right. He punted it.
Yeah.
He said, we're just going to postpone it 6 months and see what the legislature does to it, which truthfully, constitutionally, is the right thing for him to do, because it's not his job as the executive branch to create law. Because DACA is an executive order, it's not law.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
Well, I would equate that to what goes on every day in law enforcement. You know, you want some discretion, because there's times you want to push harder and times you don't want to push as hard. So what President Obama said was, we got an issue here. Do we push hard for the deportation of certain people, or do we back off a little bit? And that's what he did. So all President Trump has done is continued the policy. DACA is still law. I mean, still in effect.
Well, it's still an executive order.
Yeah, we're not deporting young people who have been here for many, many years.
Right.
I don't think it'll ever happen. The American people don't support the mass deportation of young people.
So what about the screening of people coming in from other nations? I hear that he really held on to his promise and that he's really screening and keeping other people out coming in.
There was always screening, Linda.
Right.
I understand that. Yeah.
The biggest problem with immigration, as I understand it, is people overstay their visas. They get a visa and they overstay it.
If we're talking about legal immigration, that's the case. Then those people, they'll become illegal at that point if they overstay their visa.
But what do you do about people overstay their visa? I mean, do you go after them? And that's, we've had people that face deportation here in Marion even.
Sure.
And what's happening is they're having to take them to the immigration court. Because our laws say even if you're illegal, you get a hearing.
Sure.
But there's no funding for the immigration courts and immigration judges, so there's a backlog, so they're staying here. So, I mean, I just don't see that problem getting resolved by a simple swipe of the pen. I don't see Congress stepping up to the plate to really deal with the
issue. That's going to be interesting to see what Congress actually does.
What about the refugees? Those are people that's coming from other countries, the refugees.
Well, I think that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, they get special treatment. Right. Refugees get special. And political prisoners, religious prisoners get treated, get special status.
So he really hasn't stopped refugees from coming in, saying?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Really?
Oh. Oh, no.
My friend would be interested to hear that because she claims he's really working hard keeping them out.
I'll guarantee you that some of the people who are affected by this recent hurricane in the Caribbean somewhere will be allowed status in here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think as, the most powerful first world nation on the planet, I think we have some sort of a duty to be a place for refugees.
A safe place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That, Tom,
absolutely.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I don't have a problem with that. Now, as long as we can get them established here in the United States with green cards and allow them to stay and get them working and all that, or if we can house them and harbor them until there's opportunity for them to go back to their native country, either way.
That's a fair process.
Yeah, I'm okay with either one of those.
Yeah, exactly. The other issue that I don't think, I don't want to point to the Republican Party, some Democrats are the same way, is that a lot of the undocumented people work in our economy.
Yes.
Oh, sure they do.
People pointed out just recently that California and Florida, other places, if you don't have undocumented workers in some of these industries, it's going to cause food prices to rise significantly.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
A farmer, right? So you know about that.
You know, tomato farmers up north, they rely on undocumented workers.
They don't necessarily have to rely on undocumented workers, but they currently do. Yes.
Right. If they pay people better wages, tomatoes would be more expensive. We love our tomatoes. So we love our tomato paste and everything. So we want cheap food. And I thank, the farmers for providing us with cheap food. We have the greatest agricultural economy in the world.
Absolutely.
And it's because the farmers are hardworking and because the government policies, which you got to admit, there's some good subsidies that come along.
There can be.
We have a lot of people in this county that make good money off government subsidies. I won't name names, but we got to work together to solve these problems. We can't, it's not just one way or the other.
That's good. So how did you feel when it was announced that President Trump was our new president? You're independent.
Yeah, absolutely. Shocked more than anything else.
Join us. I was
right. I was certainly not a fan of Hillary Clinton. But truthfully, even going into the election results, I really didn't think there was any way that she was going to lose. That just shocked the pants off of me.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think everybody felt the same way. I was in shock at least for 2 months afterwards.
I know you were.
Oh, yeah.
We have to resuscitate him.
I told everybody in my family, because a lot of them are Republicans, said, there's no way this guy's going to win. He's a joke.
I just never saw it coming.
And I saw election night. I just couldn't believe when Pennsylvania came back, Michigan, Wisconsin. How did that happen, And I still don't really completely understand it.
Mm. Well, I wasn't shocked.
Really?
No, I wasn't because I felt that Bernie was pushed out. Let Hillary run.
That's true.
That's true.
Hillary really didn't offer anything.
No.
She kind of ran on Obama's record.
And which people, much. Obama's record wasn't
bad. It wasn't
bad.
Bad
we could debate that, but we don't have that
him.
Kind of time
well,
today.
Let's talk about the economy, Tom. I just heard today Trump's claiming a million new jobs. But
sure.
Someone, I think your professor on here just before that said, well, he just continued the economy. All he's done is keep things going.
Right.
He hasn't done
that's
anything
all.
Major in the economy.
That's all.
Yep.
I would say that's probably accurate. However, a million new jobs when there's 300 million people in the United States is really a rounding error. I mean, that's not that many either. So,
well, let me say this. Do you feel the economy has gotten better since 2008, since we elected President Obama? We were in the tank.
Well,
we were in the ditch in 2008.
We were in the ditch in 2008. But here's the thing, and you know this as well as I do, Steve. You, a single president cannot
right,
affect
right.
an immediate economy change.
I agree.
So,
I agree.
So you look through the years of Clinton mm-hmm. were largely the economic growth there was largely because of Reagan.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yes,
wait.
Absolutely. Because economic change.
We had a surplus.
You know, that I heard Jim Jordan on TV this morning complaining about the debt, the deficit.
Right. Reagan. Even though he keeps voting for it.
Go back to the 90s. We had a surplus. We fought it in the 2000 election. What are we going to do with the surplus? We wanted, the Democrats wanted to fix Medicare, Medicaid, do infrastructure. Bush and the Republicans wanted a tax cut. You got your
sure.
tax cut. Everybody got their little check. Remember?
More
and
than
then,
one.
Yeah, that $200
more
or
yeah,
whatever it was. That's
then,
right.
In the ditch. And we had to get out of the ditch.
Well, So far in the ditch. I don't know.
You know, banks were closed. The car industry was under, you know.
That's
they had to go to the Democrats for a bailout. Please.
Oh, wow. We're going to the Democrats for a bailout. Uh-oh.
Just like you did the other day.
Ouch. Wow. Harsh words here this morning.
I'm just speaking the truth, man.
It would have been nice if Reagan had left the economy in the...
In the
black, but he didn't, you know, and I feel like when Republicans get in, that's the first thing they do is spend up all the money. When Democrats come in,
you better pay for that. Borrow and spend.
That's the Democrat policy, isn't it? Borrow and spend.
Well, what Trump do? He just released the debt limit again. I mean, that's a tactic you guys.
Don't say me. I'm not a Republican.
I'm sorry, but the conservatives want to do is play.
Let's just quickly establish that conservatives and Republicans are not nearly the same thing.
I agree with that. Same as all leftists aren't Democrats.
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
No, they like to spend money.
They do like to spend money.
Everybody
Republicans
spend
like
money.
To spend. Let's spend it all.
The Democrats spend just as much. See, I've said for years that there are truly three political parties in the United States.
Okay.
You've got the Republicans, you've got the Democrats, and all those yahoos that live in Washington, D.C. that we elect. Those are the three political parties. Because you send them and there's no difference between any of them.
Every politician likes to spend money, and it's inherent in the nature of the
beast. Well, you have to a certain extent, right?
They want to give out the goodies. It's inherent in the democracy. You know, people have said that inherently it can fall because politicians want to be loved, and they give out.
No, politicians want to be reelected. They don't care if they're loved.
Some of them want to be loved, though. Some of them, you know, they really like that adulation.
And it strokes their ego to go to Washington D.C.
You don't know why they run. They don't tell you. They don't know. They just want to be liked. So,
right.
Well, the first thing they do is cut the budget. Mm-hmm. Didn't they do that for Ohio?
Yep.
Didn't they start taking money out of this entity and that entity?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Weren't we doing okay?
Yeah. I thought so, but...
Taxes were awful high.
There you go, about taxes. Let me ask you this, Tom. When you get up in the morning, what do? You start your car, you go to work. You drive on a road, right?
Okay.
Guess who pays for that road?
Well, sure, I do,
the
with
taxes.
My taxes.
Okay, you get to work, you have a problem, you need to call the police or fire. Guess who pays for that?
Sure.
Taxes. So, taxes
we're talking about
evil.
Local level here. No.
Taxes
aren't evil by any stretch of the imagination.
No, they're not.
Taxes are the price we pay for a decent society. You go to some countries where they have no tax or low taxes, their services are minimal. We have a great country. We have a great infrastructure. Roads, bridges, police, fire, libraries, health departments, national defense. All these great things we pay for.
True.
So it's just a priority, guys. It's not that we shouldn't pay for these things. We should pay for these things.
Mm-hmm.
I agree there are certain things that we need to pay for, but using other countries as that example, I think, can be questionable. I mean, look at the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Look at socialist nations like North Korea. I realize that's an extreme example, but they are taxed to the breaking point, and none of those people have anything.
You really feel you're taxed to the breaking point?
No, I'm saying those other countries. There are other places where people are taxed, 70, 80, 90%. And we can argue the same thing when we're talking about Sweden and things where they're taxed at 70% and they have a great standard of living.
But they do that by consensual agreement. By consent. We have limitations on taxes.
That means I don't have to pay if I don't want to?
That would be nice, wouldn't
it? Guys like me will come after you. I collect city income.
Well, I understand that.
I'm just saying, most of the taxes that we have are consensual taxes. People agree.
They vote on them.
You're talking consensual in that we have an opportunity to vote on some of them,
that's
then
true.
I would agree with that.
Which ones
that's
can't true. We vote on?
Anything coming from the federal government?
Federal income tax that's passed by Congress.
And the only way to fix that, though, is to replace your congressman.
And every 2 years, you get a chance to vote Jim Jordan out. You don't do it.
Listen, if I could get rid of Jim Jordan, I'd be the first guy on that train.
I know that's right.
I'll vote for the opposition. I don't mind Jim personally. I think he's a decent guy.
I think he's a great guy.
But his policies are Neanderthal. He just wants to slash budgets and no taxes. He thinks a free market economy will fix everything. That's proven to be wrong. Let the free market economy fix the hurricane damage.
Well, the free market economy can fix things as long as everybody subscribes to that game. The problem that I have with Jim Jordan is he refuses to add any earmarks to any bills. Now, I'm not an earmark guy. I think federal spending is way out of control. However, I'm tired of Ohio being a donor state. I'm tired of 4th Congressional District being a donor district. We send our tax dollars to the federal government, and they're going to spend them somewhere.
Yes,
why
sir.
Not bring that back to our district in the process? And
I
get it. I totally understand where he's coming from, that he says, spending is out of control, so I'm not going to perpetuate that cycle by adding earmarks to bills so that
people in California, they feel like they're giving way more out in taxes than they're getting back. The states that get more money than they give is Mississippi, Alabama, the southern states.
They don't even have sales tax there, do they?
No, because they get a lot of federal money.
Their sales tax, though, in a lot of those places is astronomical because they don't have state income tax.
Oh, okay.
One way or another, you got to pay for services, Tom. Nothing's free. I'm not working
for
free.
You're not
working for free. Lenny's not working for free.
No, I'm not.
We're going to get
absolutely
paid. Police
not.
And fire and librarians and teachers and health department workers and National Guard people, they all want their pay.
Sure.
And they
deserve
it.
Of course
they
do.
And I think we need to pay our fair share. I think the problem with taxes, it's not fairly distributed. The burden's not fairly distributed.
So what do you think is fair?
Well, we had a pretty good tax rate back in the 50s when Ike was president, and we had a pretty good going economy, too.
Okay.
When taxes are distributed fairly, when the people that have higher incomes pay a fairer tax.
Right.
Well, how much is fair?
The rates are pretty low now.
Sure.
I think the rates are way too low. We need to raise the rates. Hillary Clinton proposed Barack Obama proposed a small increase to the upper echelons. I think that's the way to go. We need to tax a little. They're talking about cutting corporate taxes. Maybe the deal will cut corporate taxes in exchange. We raise the tax rate for the people making more than $250,000 a year, something like that. Or $500,000. Let's find a number that people can agree on.
But again, how much is fair, though? That's the question.
Well,
so you have 51% of the country that doesn't pay anything.
That's another issue.
That's the same issue.
If you want
to raise taxes on the upper however many percent.
We do pay taxes.
People
not federal taxes, they don't.
Okay, you're sticking with federal taxes, but you got to look at
we'll
the overall tax
number.
Burden because people in the lower income pay a higher proportion of their income to taxes than do the upper income.
No, they don't. 51% of those people don't pay any. That's zero.
You're talking federal.
You
mean
no?
Of course I'm talking
no,
federal.
Social.
Sales tax, local taxes, gas taxes.
Hey, we could turn it all into a sales tax, and then it's equal for everybody.
No. That would be disproportionately cruel to the poor.
Oh, come on now.
It would be.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that somebody that doesn't make a lot of money, I won't even put a number on it because it's arbitrary to do that. So somebody that doesn't make a whole
lot.
Okay, $25,000 a year. that guy goes to the grocery store and he spends $100 in whatever it is. The tax rate that he pays on that is different than if you go to the grocery store and pay $200.
But the proportion of his income that he uses for those kind of goods is higher proportionally than the income that a wealthier person pays.
So you're saying he spends more money out percentage-wise out of his budget on groceries.
Correct.
How does that have any effect with the sales tax? If you make it a flat sales tax.
There's other items that are taxable, toilet paper, soap. Mm-hmm.
Obviously food is not taxable.
Right, gas tax. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the things that hit the poor harder, plus the other taxes like Social Security.
Well, I don't know that those things hit the poor harder. You want to see my fuel bill?
What do you pay for fuel?
A lot.
I bet. Farming is expensive, isn't it?
Yes. Fuel is my number one expense.
We could talk taxes all day, Tom. I don't think the main issue for the white working class who tried to revolt last year was they feel the pinch for the last 30 years. Their wages haven't raised like others. They watched corporate earnings skyrocket, Wall Street cut skyrocket. They're wanting to say, where's mine? And Trump was offering him a line of bull. But they bought it. I'll make things better for you. Put more money in your pocket, better jobs. Well, we're still waiting.
Yeah, when is that coming?
When's it going to come, here, bro?
And how?
How long has he been in office?
Too long, in my opinion.
Wow.
This January 20th, so we're looking at, September? Yeah. Almost, 9 months?
9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's still kind of floating, I guess. Like you said, he's still riding on President Obama's coattail, whether people want to.
He spent more days on vacation and golfing than he has worked.
Seemed to be the Obama policy. So, he's riding the coattail.
Now, that came from George Bush, remember?
Oh, let's not go there.
Yeah, when he got elected, he was playing golf and all that stuff and had his crew with him.
That's probably a lot of stress. I mean, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is.
Absolutely.
I just don't think he's going to be able to deliver what he's promised people. So I hope they wake up and say, look, let's realistically look at things. We're going to have a more balanced approach towards federal and state government and even local government to a certain extent.
Well, he's already running for 2020. You know that, right?
I heard that on the radio this morning.
And
I see his ads. I mean, it's unprecedented.
Yeah, he's already running.
Raising money, and he thinks he's going to get another term.
Yes.
The Democrats have to wake up and get a good candidate, which we're looking.
So how old will he be in 2020?
I don't know how old he is now.
Yeah, he's in his 70s, mid-70s. He'll be pushing 80.
Ooh, do we want a president that old?
Well, we got Jerry Brown, governor of California, that's in his 80s and thinking about running. I don't think age necessarily disqualifies you. If you're in good health.
I think so.
And you're mentally stable, which...
Well, that's questionable in the presidency, absolutely.
It gets to a point, a lot of people get older and they lose memory and abilities to quickly think, and president's got a lot of responsibilities, so we want someone that can respond quickly to a decision,
Right.
But I'm not, age doesn't disqualify people, obviously. People could be sharp into their 90s and beyond that, even.
Well, that's, that's helpful
to know
that because, we're going the other way now from young to older, a lot older. He's 30 years older than President Obama?
Yeah.
Almost. Well, he's in his 50s.
Yeah, President Obama's in his late 50s, isn't he?
Maybe we have Michelle run. I vote for
her. Wow. No. Wow. That's okay.
I don't know. I don't know if she would even want to or
probably
he.
Probably not.
No. I mean, because...
She's probably had enough of the White House.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I would have. Yeah. I did for them, but I was proud,
Right.
Of the opportunity that they did have to be there. And I'm sure it was a very... not easy position to be in, a man of color. Mm-hmm. Yeah, explains a lot of decisions he made,
too. It was really good for the country to move forward, and we were hoping we'd have a female president. So I don't care if it's on the Republican
side. Well, we had Clinton, though. That was our first female president, right? First woman president.
I think we need to have a woman president. It's just something we should have. It just doesn't make any sense. Other countries have women leaders.
I don't have necessarily a problem with having a woman president, but I think that I don't think that being female should qualify you for being president. As the only qualification.
True.
No, of course
that's
not.
That's true. It didn't work for Hillary.
Sure. No, it didn't work for Hillary.
Just in terms of equality in this country.
Right.
You remember, less than 100 years ago, women couldn't even vote. So,
Smoke cigarettes or wear pants.
Or really hold jobs in corporations like they do now, own companies.
That's true.
Right.
They're in the Senate, they're in the House, they're mayors, they're governors,
Absolutely.
And we need to, I just think it'd be a good precedent to set, is to say, okay, we've broken that barrier. A woman can be president.
I think if you have the right person, then there's no problem with that.
And
I think purposely recruiting a candidate just because they're a woman would be rotten.
I guarantee you that both at the national and the state level, they recruit women to run for office.
Of course they do.
I'm sure.
Of course they do. It doesn't necessarily make it right.
Well, but there's an electoral advantage in many places.
Of course there is.
More women are actually registered to vote than men.
Sure. Right.
You look in most organizations, women actually do more of the work in many organizations than the men do.
Of course, just like in the home, right?
That's right.
I mean, hey, so, we're there doing our best.
Just talking about fairness, Tom. I just think it's time that, you know, a matter of fairness, we...
That's true.
What's fair, though?
I don't think men are there yet.
What?
I don't.
Fair?
Not in America. Uh-oh. Not in America. Okay. As far as a woman leader over the country, I don't think
they're
there.
Well, that's
what Hillary
said. She thought there was some sexism involved with people that voted against her.
Of course.
Maybe.
I don't know.
She's got legitimacy.
No, I don't know. I don't think there's any more sexism than there would have been racism the previous 8 years.
Oh, there was racism. I guarantee you that.
There was. There is no doubt
that's
about
what he's
it.
Saying.
There are people that did not vote for President Obama
that's
because
true.
Of that. However,
that's true.
I don't think it's near as widespread as what people think it is.
Well, I don't know. I'm maybe not the victim not. Of it that much.
Yeah, that's true.
If I was African American, I might say something different.
That's true.
Know, you know.
Oh, of course, and we felt differently about
sure.
the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
because you would have to be African American even know
understand,
how we even
right.
felt during
and,
this time.
And the same thing. With, I'm not a woman, so I can't really speak, you know, about some of the issues. But I'm just talking to my wife and people in my family that they don't always feel they're treated fairly because of being a woman, you know. And I,
of course not.
So.
It hasn't happened yet.
It's a dream of our country for equality for all, equal justice, and equal opportunity, right?
True,
sure, absolutely.
True. Absolutely. But, you know, we're moving right along, and I did want to ask you your opinion about, can't think of his name, Korea.
Kim Jong-un.
Him. And China. We're talking about money and taxes and things like that, but I think that those people are more... focused on their military. How you feel about that?
Well, I was just thinking about that on the way in because you were, the guy before us was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, nuclear weapons have been around since 1945.
43,
yeah.
44, yeah.
And everybody in the world deals with the same issue we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the world can be affected by a nuclear fallout. Like the Russians, remember they had Chernobyl?
Right.
And the whole cloud spread over Europe.
Right.
So... it's a universal issue that we have to face. Now, President Kennedy was the first one that said, look, maybe we need to cut back and have the nuclear non-proliferation. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And then all the presidents since then have tried to do that. Nixon, Carter, Reagan, everybody tried to cut back, have agreements with the Russians. The United States and the Russians are the main people in the world that have nuclear weapons.
Right.
Still the same. And we should keep working on that. If we don't set the example... and the Russians don't set the example, and then now the Chinese and others. Why are we expecting these small countries, whether it's Pakistan or the Israelis have nuclear weapons?
Right.
India too, right?
India
has them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Why can we demand countries, and, you know, I know we all think North Korea is terrible, and they are.
They are nuts.
How do we have the right to say you can't have a nuclear bomb? Until we have to set examples.
Right.
Everywhere. And anything we do. If we're the biggest and the baddest and best in the world, which I think we are.
Sure.
Let's set the example. Let's say, okay, we'll get with the Russians and the Chinese and the French, and whoever else has got nuclear weapons, and we'll scale back ours.
I don't know.
North Korea, you do the same. They haven't joined the agreement. There's an agreement out there where countries can join to agree to restrict it. And they won't do it.
Well, no.
Okay.
They're
the Iranians won't?
I'm not sure the Iranians have the capability yet. I know they're close.
They're
working
got a deal.
On it, yeah.
Right.
Well, and why shouldn't they? I mean, if you were a country like Iran or any country around the world and you felt threatened, that's why the Russians did what they did. They felt threatened by the United States, and there was a reason for it.
True.
So I think North Koreans probably feel a little paranoid, and they got paranoid leadership, so kind
of
feeds into it.
Of course.
Right.
So I don't know. You can't unleash that nuclear genie. I mean, we did it once.
And
a lot of people had remorse about it. But
that's
That's a long time ago. But
we're talking about Pearl Harbor.
We're talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah,
we don't want that.
But that started it, right?
That was the first time and hopefully the last time it would ever be.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I would never want to see another nuclear weapon dropped. However, how can you scale back when you have people like North Korea that have them who are threatening to use them?
People have to sit down and talk.
Unless they don't all come to the table.
Allegedly, this guy just wants to be respected. Here's what you do. You pick up the phone, you're Trump. hey, guy, you want to come to the White House for dinner?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Well, what's a dinner? What's that going to cost?
Dennis Redman went over there and talked to him.
What's it going to cost? Hey, come on over for dinner. Maybe
remember
that would
that?
Be a crazy guy to back down. You know, I don't know.
No, he's not going to. He's nuts.
Well, I mean, what's...
You can't negotiate with crazy people. You know that.
Well, you got to do something with them. You can't lock them all up.
No, he wants to be respected.
In North Korea.
You know?
I don't care.
I don't know. I'm not. I'm glad I'm not the president. I would never take the job.
He has a million-man army. You know he wants to be respected.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever seen those North Koreans, what they do with their young people? They got three-year-olds doing all these crazy dances. Like, it's amazing what they do. They're so disciplined.
Right.
You do not want to start a war with those people. I'm guaranteed.
It's not going to be pretty if we do. I mean, they are
just a little blip on the radar, but they're different. Okay. A lot worse than Vietnam. Yeah.
And we lost that war, didn't we?
Well, if we had fought the war, we may not have, but, you know.
We didn't even fight the war?
Not really.
We were just there as a presence.
Absolutely.
We sat there. We dropped a lot of bombs.
We did, and then we tied the hands of our soldiers. It's the same thing we did in Afghanistan and Iraq.
What would have been your solution? Drop the big one?
Where?
In Vietnam.
I think
Johnson considered it. Nixon.
Yeah, they did consider it. I don't know that you would have... So I guess the question with that is, why were we there to begin with? What were we attempting to accomplish? And if you don't have...
The loss of lives.
If you don't have well-defined end goals, then how do you win a war? In World War II, the end goal was to stop the Nazis.
Right.
Once we stopped the Nazis and then stopped the Japanese, it was over.
Yep.
Right. And we all went home.
Right.
And we're best friends.
Right.
Yeah.
So where has been the end goal in Vietnam? What was the end goal? What was the end goal in Iraq?
They said, if you look back at the domino theory, if you let Vietnam go, then all Southeast Asia will go. It was a crazy idea, but that's what was promoted back then.
Sure.
And it was a Cold War.
Mm. Well, but it wasn't. It was a hot war. I mean, it was. It started because of the Cold War.
So what's going on now is it's the whole game of the global corporations trying to control things, and you got the competition between the main players, was the Russians, the Chinese, and us.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And Korea's just a little puppet. The Chinese don't want us to dominate economically or politically or militarily. They want that little buffer.
Right.
They're willing to put a crazy guy out there just to kind of keep us in line. That's what's going on.
And it could be. You know,
we're playing into their game.
Yeah.
I think we just go call the guy up. Hey, come on over, have dinner.
I don't know.
And say you set.
How about you have him to your house and have this conversation?
I'll
come over. And say I'll come over. We'll cook
you
some hamburgers.
If you do set up a bomb, where's the end of that?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Where's the end of that? If China sent out a bomb, would they be able to stand against the United States, or, you know, would they have to come
too.
Together?
They're building a heck of a Navy as well.
They are starting
to.
Yeah. Their Air Force is a little archaic. But.
They have to, because when you have one nation claiming to be the greatest and the strongest and the mightiest, you know, you have to. You just really have to, because, like you say, you never know when we may say, okay, well, we're just going to dominate the world.
Where we can't do it anymore. We don't have the resources. The Russians found this.
I don't think you have the will.
Well, we could, I suppose, but people want to have their good stuff, Tom. They want their 56-inch TV. They want to
be able to pay $40 for it. That's the difference.
Well,
I mean, we could manufacture those things in the United States, but that same TV would be $5,000.
There you go.
You know.
So in some ways, we've kind of gotten lazy and self-centered, you know.
Maybe. I don't know.
And so that's the reality we're dealing with. We're not going to be able to dominate around the world, and we're just going to have to try to get along with people.
Not without the will to do so.
Wow. And, you know, to say that we've become lazy and we're spoiled, and that could be all true, you know.
I think it's absolutely true.
I know I spoiled my dogs.
Yeah, that's true. Your children and everything else, you know. It's like we don't have to really suffer for anything over here. Even though we hear about poverty and people being homeless and things like that, but they still have safe havens that they can turn to and go, you know. You have the homeless out on the street in some places, but they're steady building places where they can come in and get food and clothing to put on their back. So it's sort of like America is everyone's dream. That's why so many people want to come here. And be here and be a part of that.
There's
you know?
Still a lot of opportunity if you want to work hard.
That's
absolutely.
True.
I mean, you can still make a lot of money in this country.
Absolutely.
Right, right. And then, you know, sometimes we look at other people from other countries and they come here. I'm speaking from African American perspective. I know that we do have some businesses, but then you can find people come from Somalia and they can just walk right in, open up a store, and they got it really going on. And people say, well, how are they able to do that? And they just got here. So do we make provisions for them to be able to come here and have certain privileges in our country, or does their country send money with them? How does that work, or do you know?
Well, when it comes to like the Somalis, if that's the example we're going to use, there is a great, I don't want to call it underground infrastructure, but they have a great sense of community. We're talking down in Columbus. We're the number two, I think, Columbus is.
Yeah,
Minneapolis
center, is the first one.
Yeah, center for Somali immigrants.
Muslims.
Absolutely, and they take care of each other. So if they come here, there is money internally in that community that they're given for each other.
Okay.
So I think there's a network.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, a lot of them came initially because they were refugees. They had all that problems over there, so...
Yeah, back
like
in the
mid-90s. Like we talked about earlier, there's special status for political and, refugees.
Okay,
right.
Okay. Just like the Syrians.
But let's not make immigrants scapegoats, We're all immigrants.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And we want to have welcoming, we want to be welcoming people.
True.
We want to take care of people. But we want to be fair, to our people.
Should be.
If there's people in this country that want to pick tomatoes, I say let them pick
tomatoes.
Sure,
let them pick tomatoes. Right.
They don't want to pick tomatoes.
No, they don't want to
they
pick
tomatoes.
You're right.
They
don't want to pick tomatoes and I grow tomatoes.
I don't either. So, I want to have cheap tomatoes, and if there's some people from Mexico who want to come and pick tomatoes,
sure. Well, the only thing is, though, come through the door, tell us who you are, and get yourself registered. I have no problem with immigration.
Get registered.
Right.
That's
no
true.
Problem
come,
with immigration.
Come the right way.
Don't break the law. Pay your taxes.
Right.
And a lot of them do. A lot of them don't.
Oh, sure.
They follow the law. They pay their taxes.
Absolutely they do.
That's true. If they are receiving money, it should be required of them as it is of us also.
Exactly.
If you're working, pay
sure.
your,
mm-hmm.
it should come right out of their checks just like it does everybody else mm-hmm. except pay taxes,
Sure.
Yeah. And that's what people were saying. Well, they pay right into the federal government. I'm not sure, Social Security and
Some of them are afraid to do all the paperwork involved because they're afraid of being deported. So this is what the sort of DACA was.
You're talking about the DACA program.
Yeah, bringing them into. Let's get them into the economy. Let's get them signed up. Maybe not make them full citizens. And that's one of the points we made. They don't get to vote.
Yeah, they don't get to vote.
They're not voting. But
no.
It's not just a political issue. Maybe some say, well, it's the churches. They want to be in churches. Well, we have freedom of religion in this country. Mm-hmm. So
that's
you can go to whatever church you want to go to.
That's true.
Sure.
But let's just deal with in terms of the economics or the humanitarian side of it. You're not going to put people on buses, hundreds and thousands of people, and ship them. Where are you going to ship them? They've never been to Mexico. They don't even know. Someone can't speak Spanish.
We're just talking about about the children that would be affected by DACA.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is their home country. If they've been here for 20 years, I get that. However, as soon as they turned 18, now we've got another problem. I mean, if the average age is 26, then for 8 years they haven't made any attempt, even under the DACA program, which would prevent them from being deported.
They haven't registered under DACA?
A lot of them haven't.
Well, maybe they were still afraid, but...
Well, but if they have a program, then they should have been using it.
Well, I don't disagree there.
That's true.
They should have taken advantage of the program and registered.
That's true.
Whether or not you agree with the program, it was available and they
chose
not to use it.
And some people...
A lot did. A lot did sign up. I think 800,000 or something signed up.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people follow the leader. Well, they got in free, so I'm going to go in the same way they did,
Right.
They'll just have to put me out. But I want a prediction. We're running out of time. A prediction from each of you, starting with you, Steve.
Prediction regarding...
Obamacare.
Oh,
affordable health care.
It's here to stay. It's not going away. They're going to do some fixes on it and try to open up the markets, but it's not. It was the greatest thing since Social Security.
Oh, I completely disagree with
all
that.
All right, here we go.
I think it's going to take longer than what President Trump thinks it's going to talk to, or what he thinks it's going to take to get rid of it. But I do think that it's on the way out.
We'll find out. What, a year later? What? Come back in a year from now?
Come back in a year and
we'll
see where we're at.
So you say it's not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
They're
going to
fix it. What's wrong with it?
I don't think there's too much wrong with it
right now.
It's mainly the insurance companies that are saying, look, we're not going to provide coverage because we can't get the young people to sign up.
Sure.
That was the whole part of the program.
It's too expensive. That's the problem.
Well,
because nobody was able to sign up because it was dogged from the beginning. And when people say, okay, well, this is not good for you, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. You're not going to like it at all.
Right.
And the more you hear those type of negative things, the more you begin to believe them. So a lot of people say, well, I don't think I want to sign up for that.
That's right.
And I don't think you should have to be forced to sign up for that.
No, I don't either.
See, well, I think
that's the biggest, piece of Obamacare.
If you didn't have insurance and you showed up at the emergency room, you'd get treated, right?
Absolutely.
That uncompensated care would be passed on to my coverage. My premiums would go up because of your uncompensated care.
Sure.
That's the whole thing with Obamacare. It was we're going to get everybody in.
Right.
And then we're going to figure out how to keep costs down. And that is, we're going to have to get the insurance companies to be more fair, the drug
That's
companies
true.
To be fair.
That's true.
The doctors, the hospitals.
That's true.
We're going to have to, and there's some really good solutions. Dr. Ezekiel Manuel proposed some really good solutions to make health care be more effective.
Right.
A lot of health care is spent on a very small amount of people because we're throwing unnecessary tests, unnecessary treatments. To treat these people, and we need to get more efficient in the system. So,
well, that preventive health care, I think that's what's going on now. Yeah. That's why people go to doctor more. I have to go like once every 3 months and make sure I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine, but it's the preventive care.
Yeah, you catch something early, like
catch it early,
cancer and other things. It's more treatable. If you wait until it gets to be chronic, then you know you got a problem.
Right, and a lot of people won't go to doctor. Well, I'm hurting, but I haven't been. I'll get over it. You know, that still goes on, but
it's here to stay.
Okay, prediction, 2018.
We're going to get a Democratic governor in Ohio, which would be super, and possibly even some more state reps, we're hoping.
Okay.
We'll get that gerrymandering going and lay the foundation for Ohio to go blue in 2020.
Okay.
I hope.
So what do you think about the Senate or the House?
Well, Sherrod will win again.
I don't know about that one.
Oh,
I don't know.
Tom, I'll bet you any amount of money Sherrod will
win. I'm not saying that I necessarily want it to go that way, but I don't know that. I think he's vulnerable.
Okay, well.
I think he is.
A big win with Sherrod next year.
Okay.
And I think we got a shot.
I think Josh Mandel has him next year.
Whoa.
That guy's tired. He's ran too many times. And he's not been successful. Well, I guess, was he treasurer now or something?
Yeah, state treasurer.
I guess it all depends.
He's won two. He's only lost one race. So he's actually won two and lost one. So I wouldn't say he has a track record of being unsuccessful.
Well, I don't think he's got a chance, but.
Okay. Balance of power prediction.
There you go.
Is it gonna? You think it's gonna even out or what?
Well, I think we got a shot at actually picking up some House seats too at the federal level. Quite
okay.
a few House
okay.
seats because traditionally the party in power loses seats. So
right.
I think we'll
the swing back
20. They said we need 28 seats. I don't know if we'll get that many, but I think we'll get enough. Keep that, checks and balances going.
I think the Republicans still hold. I think the Republicans will still hold a majority, but I think you're right. I think there will be some swing back. I think nationwide, 2018 is going to be a good year to be a Democrat.
All right. Well, we appreciate that.
Whether or not I like it, I'm just making the prediction.
I
just think it's
going to
be.
Right? Prediction.
We're very hopeful.
Well, that's great. Well, we're out of time, and thank you, gentlemen, Steve Chafin, for coming, and also Tom Oyster. I have really enjoyed our time, and hopefully you did too, those of you who were listening. You have been listening to The Chat live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Until next time, be blessed, and thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1.